There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, chassis and chassisettes. It's Archie Curzon here, aka the Chief Chat Officer, aka the CEO of Clapham. A little bit different this week. The Rig Biz is without Freddie Claude. Freddie is, I think, somewhere playing hockey or throwing a frisbee. So, unfortunately, he can't be with us today, but that is okay. I have done a lot of things in my life by my own. I did my Duke of Edinburgh by myself. I lived until my daughter turned up alone for several years, and I actually really enjoyed the quietness and the solitude of that. And I conduct business meetings regularly on my own, so a podcast doesn't seem that much of a problem. Luckily, I've roped in a very good friend this week to join me as my guest. He's someone I look up to, a mentor, and someone that I enjoy spending a lot of time with. So I thought, you know, if I'm by myself, let's not get someone in who I've never met. Let's get someone in I'm familiar with. We can have a bit of banter and let's see where this goes. So please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Mel Dean. I think what they'll do is they'll have a band. Yeah, fireworks, everything like that. We need to make a note to the editor. Can we have some fireworks and maybe some of Mel Dean's best clips?
Bunting
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, bunting on the top, and then maybe some of you when you played rugby.
Yes.
Anyway, Mel, I've got it here. Mel O'Reilly Richard Dean.
Archie, good to see you.
It is wonderful for you to join me today. It's a blank piece of paper. But I always feel good when I have a paper with me. And what I thought this podcast would be, we're going to kind of rebrand it a little bit. It's going to be called Archie's C.H.A.T. Show. That's a chat show, but there'll be a dot. and the C, that stands for... chat, because we're going to have a lot of that over the next hour and an hour and a half, possibly 2 hours. How are you doing? How are you doing? Which will be one of my first questions, and that will be what I open with. How are you doing? I use that quite a lot in the city. Jeff, how are you doing? And then A for attitude. I hope you bring your bloody good attitude. I always have a wonderful
zero in, Archie.
Exactly. And attitude. Time. It is ticking.
Chat time.
Time is always going around us. It is never stopping. And we have limited time here in this booth on this planet.
So can you just say what the CHAT is again? So,
chat, how are you doing? Attitude and time. Infinite time. Infinite time. Mel Dean. Mel, it is wonderful to have you here in this, I would say, office. I call it an office. People call it a podcast studio, but it's an office.
Yes.
Now, Mel, we've known each other for a fair amount of time now. We met on a charity bike ride.
Yes.
I regularly come to you for an MOT, a checkup on the old chassis.
Yes.
Mel, how are you? What have you been up to recently?
What I've been up to? Well, I've been replying to your messages to me saying that you're unable to attend.
Yeah.
I have been replying to such messages. I'd love to be there, Mel, but I have my head up my hole and it is unfortunate, but I can't make it. I can't make a wheelbarrow out of myself and get to you and lift.
Well,
is basically what you say on every message.
Okay, I will address this problem. It's the elephant in the room. You're clearly upset about it. And if this happened in an office environment, I would just put it to bed. You know, I'd call in the receptionist and I'd say, Eleanor, let's talk about the elephant in the room. I did touch you on Thursday night, but I didn't mean it in that way.
Okay.
Okay. I generally thought you had a back pocket, and I was going to put my phone in there. So elephant in the room, Mel. Listen, I would love to come to you every day. If anyone
day in day out.
For anyone that doesn't follow Mel, Mel is a PT to some of the top people in the world, and he works out of Richmond.
Yes.
Now Richmond sometimes can be close to Clapham. If I get to Clapham Junction on time, there's an 8-minute train. It's wonderful. But sometimes there's a 20-minute train. And just to put this in sort of put everything on the table,
money,
lay it bare, put it on the plate, you know, I have a job, which, you know, that takes a lot of my attention. And I would say if I'm putting stuff in attention in my life, I'd say job takes up 70% of my time. Going out with mates, that's 5%. I don't want to have too much of that, because too much fun equals too many beers, and that's too many calories.
Too many beerios.
Beerios, yeah. That's plural for beers. That's what we call it in the city. You're not, you know, you won't know some of this jargon.
No.
If you don't know it, just let me know.
Beerios.
5%. So then I've got 25% to play with. Now, 10% is I would say 50% is fitness. Fitness / rugby. I've now signed for Richmond, obviously, and
yes,
we'll get on to that.
Yeah.
And then 10% is just...
Are you actually keeping the percentages here? Are you adding them up there, buddy?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's 10%. 10%, so break that 10% into like 5% Instagram and just social media presence, which is actually really important. I should probably address that, make that bigger. And then 5% my daughter, Johnny Jono, who you've met, you know...
She is a darling.
She's a pain in the ass.
Absolutely. No, no. She's fantastic.
So that's the problem. I just can't get there enough. I mean, I do love it. It's a wonderful workout. I love being in that gym, getting hot and sweaty with you. But I wish, you know, I wish I could be more.
Yeah,
it's hard to find the time to align it with Grace, who also goes to your gym. That's when I like to do my times.
You're trying to coincide. Well,
yeah,
there,
but not for any pure reason that she is a wonderful athlete, and it just motivates me to do better.
Well, there you go.
But Mel, just tell everyone, because people might not know, but obviously Richmond, where you're based, you used to play for Richmond Rugby Club. I've just signed for Richmond Rugby Club. Just give us, give me some of your best memories of joining Richmond, because you joined in the good old days.
Yes, when they had more money than sense, basically, and they paid a lot of high profile players that I wasn't at all. They paid some lads big money, like Ben Clark and the Cornell boys and Alan Bateman and a couple of lads that were on a few pound and Pichot. And that was a great time. Started professionalism. I just finished uni, straight into professional rugby. Oh, it was a fantastic time. Absolutely fantastic.
And how did that come about then? So you're in university. Are you university in UK?
Yes, I was. I was in Brunel.
Okay.
Formerly West London Institute, which was just down the road from Richmond.
And is that Redbrook University?
Yes,
it is. Brunel. I've never heard of it, but okay, wonderful. What did you study there?
Sports science.
Sports science.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And just the reason to play rugby, basically, and just around the corner from St Mary's Strawberry Hill, which would be the rival uni, so to speak.
Yeah.
But great times. And then when I finished there, actually my last exam was the 6th of June and my contract started on the 1st of June. So it was a nice little overlap, straight into professional rugby. Fabulous.
But back in the day, did you have an agent or what? How did someone discover you? Did someone just, you in the park, throwing the pill around? Because I always hoped that would happen and someone just go like, by the way, mate, your left-hand spin pass is incredible. Do you want to come play professional rugby?
Yeah, so you're spin passing to yourself?
I just throw it up in the air, that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yes, I was at Wasps for 5 years before that.
Okay.
As a youngster. And the Irish Exiles coach was at Richmond and he said, we could do with you in Richmond. So I headed to Richmond and there you have it. Yeah, it was great. A year playing in the academy stuff before my last year at uni and then straight into professionalism, which was
amazing. Was that like a baptism of fire? Because I remember... For instance, just to give you an example, when I had my gap year in Canary Wharf, that was a fun 12 months. That, no joke, you know, we had a hoot. But then, and that was at my godfather's company. And I think I really put in a shift. And he said, look, do you want to just stay on and, you know, come and work here? And
yes.
I said, yeah. And from like that, like you were saying, professional contract, walked in the next day.
Bang.
Wow, it was a kick in the balls. I realised, okay, this isn't a corporate jolly. I've got to get down. I've got to melt the phones. So, I mean, was it similar from, you know, going from university rugby, academy rugby, and then boom into professional rugby?
I always had a professional attitude before, probably being a professional. So, I knew I wanted to be it. I wanted to play rugby ever since I was a young whippersnapper, and so it was great. And all playing with all your pals in Richmond, getting a few pounds, a bit of time off. I mean, what's not to love?
Just sounds like the dream. It sounds a lot like my gap year, actually, in a way, because I was living out my dream with my, well, not my pals, but they, you know, I think, actually, I'm not connected with many of those guys still
anymore.
No, they were in their 30s. I think a few of them are dead now. But I can imagine. And the interesting thing about you, Mel, that obviously, you know, I know quite a lot about you. I've roomed with you and have spent time talking about the ways of the world. But you've never drunk a drop, which is quite rare in rugby circles, isn't it? Because
yes,
you know, rugby comes hand in hand with the old Lasharoo.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a rugby guy.
Yes.
And I love drinking. I mean, I like drinking. I like drinking because, you know, that's part of rugby culture. But also, I sometimes need a few drinks when I'm going to going somewhere just to, you know, give me a bit of a confidence boost. I find, you know.
Do you think you need a confidence boost? That is a question that you need to answer.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I probably seem very confident right now, but I've had 3 or 4 glasses of red for that.
So, just as we walk in here at this time, yeah, is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, so I mean, it helps me. And most of the time you see me, I've had a drink. Some people may say there's a problem, but I'm actually managing it very, very well.
What do they call that? They call that alcoholic? Functioning?
When I think about alcoholics, I think about those guys who hang out by the tube and drink cans. For me, I find that I drink good stuff, and that keeps me. I mean, look, I'm in good shape. You know, it's your Moe, your clear tequilas, and the best thing, a lot of it I expense it, so it doesn't really cost me a lot.
Yes.
But I mean, let's go back to you. So you don't drink, okay? No. Never drunk a drop. Not even a morselin.
Smidgen.
Not even a little drop of sweat. You know, not even that.
No.
Never. And what is the reason for that? Just sort of.
I grew up in pubs, and my dad never drank and my granddad never drank. You can take a pledge when you're confirmed as a Catholic, not that I'm particularly religious, but you can take a pledge not to drink until you're 18 or 21 when you take the pledge and you get the pioneer pin. And I never drank because dad never drank and granddad never drank. And I used to see what drink would do to people. Yeah. And I used to see fights a lot.
Yeah.
And so I thought, and I was okay with fighting, and I didn't think it would be a good idea if I was okay with fighting and drinking.
Yeah.
I could be in trouble because there was a little bit of a beast in the basement at times when I got when I saw red.
You have that way about you that, you know, look, you know, from the experience I've had is you're a lovely guy, love spending time with you, would welcome you into my home. But I wouldn't want to mess you around because yes. you're a big guy. You've got a big bottom. I'll tell you that. You have a very big bottom. It's extraordinary.
That's the power pack.
But you do have that. Do you feel like you have that? Mm. You can just go.
Actually, I was in Richmond only at the end of last week, and I put the bike outside the Robin Cafe, which is a lamppost just outside the cafe, and it's literally 2 meters to the bike. And I was in the window having a coffee and a croissant or something, and I was just leaving the bike there, and I was, because nobody's going to take the bike because I'm obviously 2 meters
there
from it.
Yeah.
So this fella walks along, obviously a tearaway, and he walks along and he looks at the bike and he does a double take immediately. Nobody's going to see an unlocked bike unless they're looking for on the take.
Yeah.
So he stops and he looks left and he looks all the way right and then he looks left again and he thinks, I am going to be away with this, and he just checks behind him, and I have my elbows on the desk and I am like an inch from the window looking at him.
Yeah.
Square. And he went, yours. Yeah, yours. I was thinking, not locked. And walked on. I was like, yeah, he put his fingers on that bike.
See, that is where we're different, because for me it would give me a warm and fuzzy feeling. He's entrepreneurial. He's taking that bike and he's going to sell it and make it for a profit. But no, that is interesting, because I was thinking coming here, I was going to ask you, what are your pet peeves? Because for instance, the other day I was walking from work, just walking to the tube. There was a lady with her mother, and her mother was pushing a pushchair, and she just finished the can, just threw it on the floor in front of me.
No.
So I like picked the can up and I was like, oh, by the way, you just dropped this can. And she just goes, I don't want to do the accent, because next thing I know, this will be clipped up and Reform will be using it.
And you stuck the can in.
Okay, just to be clear on that, can I just be clear? She was of Spanish descent, okay? So okay. I just want to be clear. Reform, keep your hands off that clip.
How do you do Spanish accent?
Okay. And I said, okay, I'll put it in the bin then. And I walked across the road, put it in the bin. And I thought, oh, that really, I was just like,
you didn't launch it at her.
No, I mean, what do you do? And then I just thought, right, that's it. I'm now a dustbin man. This is not the career I want to be doing. The other pet peeve is I just kept coming here because you go to King's Cross. I can't stand two things, and I mean it. I might have the meld. I'm a cool, calm character. I think that's the drink helps me with that. It just sells me down.
Yes.
Sells me down. But people who just stop and are unaware of where you are, like an entrance.
Yeah,
I'm getting. I'm a busy guy. I'm moving from work. You know, I'm on the move. This is the only time I sit down. I have a standing desk in my office. Okay, so I only sit down when I do a podcast. On the tube, I'm walking up and down. I'm getting my steps in. You know me. I get about minimum 30,000 steps in a day. They just stop at the. I'm just going to get up here. I know this might be difficult. They just stop and looking. And like everyone's walking up, and it's just, I'm like, how? How are you not aware there are 100 people coming behind you?
Yes.
And that is where I think, I want to just move along.
Shove.
And then, I think they were Spanish as well. Maybe I have got a thing about Spanish people. I think I have. I will actually, I'll put my allegiance to a political party who are thinking about stopping the Spanish coming over here, because they're bloody annoying me. The other thing is I hate is slow walkers.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I think we've struck a nerve here, Archie.
Do you want some of this vodka?
Straight.
No, seriously, I can't bear it. And it's one of the things.
Manners.
Manners is key. I tell Johnny Jono, please and thank yous are the most important.
For sure. I was an absolute little shite. But because I said please and thank you as a youngster, I got away with murder. Well, not actual murder. But
No, because you weren't drinking. But my God, if you were drinking as a kid, that would have been it. We might not be here. You might be incinerated.
This is true. But I remember seeing red.
Yeah.
And then not liking it at all because I didn't care. I didn't care. You know, when you see properly see red, like, whatever, I don't care. And I obviously, playing rugby, you get clipped a couple of times. And I didn't see that as a problem.
Did you ever see red on the rugby pitch? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes is that to your detriment on the pitch?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Totally.
Okay.
Totally, but I actually quite liked the fear factor that people then had for you. If you had people would go, don't go near him. Or if they see me hitting a punch bag or something, they'd be like, don't go near him. I liked that fear factor. There's a saying in Ireland, if you get the name of an early riser, you can lie in bed all day. So people, if they deem that you are a bit of a savage when you fight, they don't want to fight with you. And you never have to fight.
Yeah. I do. No, I get that. I sometimes, you know, odd time of the year, sometimes I'll get down. And again, I think that is related.
Get down as in?
Well, I just get really down and depressed about life, you know.
Oh, so yeah. not
I get down every weekend. Don't get me that way. But sometimes I just, and my mental health takes a complete collapse. And some days... I just find myself in a pub, 11 o'clock in the afternoon in Clapham. I've texted my boss saying, I've got to go to the dentist. I don't know when I'll be back.
Yeah.
And I'll just sit with a whiskey and I will, I'll have that look at the end of the bar, just hoping someone picks a fight.
Someone picks it.
Yeah, just that dark demeanor. No, I think it's interesting because I've never seen you get red and I've never seen you get angry, but you definitely have that feeling that,
But that's what, I don't understand that.
Has anyone else told you that?
That is the thing. Because they've only ever seen the nicest version of me ever.
Yeah, but do you ever go home and just like...
No, but I honestly don't understand it. One client had had her son in, and he said to his mum, Mel looks like he could do some damage to you if he wanted. And I was like, wow, what is that thing to say? But he... Imagine that been...
How old was the kid?
13.
13, okay.
But I'm putting across the nicest person I am, and I am a nice person.
Yeah, you are. I am a nice person. I've spent time with you. If you weren't a nice person, you'd know. You can't keep it up for ages. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You can't do that facade.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, trust me, my dad had his second wife. We all quickly found out it was a facade.
Really?
Yeah.
She's so nice. She said, what?
Yeah, as she'd written...
Was it really?
Yeah.
No.
But I mean, that's the thing. When's the last time you saw red?
It's a couple of years, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I did end up having to get out of the car. I was chasing through cars a person on a motorbike, and then when the lights would go green, they go boo and be gone, and then I'd be running back to the car.
Oh my god, what happened? How did that happen?
Because they jammed on the brakes, and I could have like flattened them. Yeah. And I saw red, and okay. I was like trying to chase them, and then every time we got to lights and I was obviously a few cars behind, the lights would be red, so I'd get out of the car and I'd start running down, and then the lights would turn green and they'd tear off, and I'd run back to the car, jump into the car and go after them, and the person in front was going, no, because they could see obviously I was going mad.
Were they Spanish?
They're going, no.
No. In a way, it's good, because if you think about it, you're running there, you're running back, you're running there.
I'm getting some engine. I'm getting some engine.
And then when you're good luck. Now, just quickly, because we're halfway through the podcast, I just want to do a big shout out to our sponsors, which are Speedos. And they've lent me these, because you know what last time when we travelled, I don't like damaging my retinas.
Yes, you used to go to sleep in those bad
boys. Yes, I do. And so I just want to give a big shout out to Speedo this year. You can... I was going to say, you can use the code CURSIN10 to get 10% off, but they haven't actually sanctioned this advert.
They're so tight on your face.
No, they feel really comfortable, honestly.
They're actually pulling your top lip into play if you're going, sanctioned.
No, it's sanctioned. And yes. I feel more comfortable. I feel more confident in these. I highly recommend, you know, men, women, just let's make wearing goggles.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Can we? Because I actually think it's good for the retinas. I relax. You know, a lot of people doing red and blue, you know.
Yeah.
What's that?
Red light therapy.
Red light. Yeah, what is red light therapy?
It's meant to go deep into your tissues and regenerate.
Yeah.
You feel great after it, to be fair.
What about saunas? Because you're obviously, Mel, you're like, let's get into fitness a little bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, you are my fitness guru. If I have any questions, I always come to you.
Yes,
you do. Saunas, are they good for you?
Well, there's every person has their own opinion, but for me, I love a sauna. And Dad loved them since I was a young lad, and he's been in them. Dad looks the bizzo.
Yeah.
For 82. And
he has a sauna every day.
As a youngster, he would have been in the saunas all the time. At least 3 times a week, definitely. And he looks 72, unless you see him walking, because his knees are absolutely banjoed. But he, skin-wise, healthiness, he should have probably worn Speedos.
Worn these guys. Because I used to sauna a lot, actually.
Did you?
I used to sauna a lot. I used to go to Stockwell a lot. Chariot saunas in Stockwell. Big shout out to those really friendly guys, really friendly people that go there. It was just a group of guys who would love to just get naked and get in the sauna. And I would go there 3-4 times a week. And the reception I get, brilliant. Everyone very chatty. Everyone really, it was like going back to boarding school.
Oiled up.
No, they were just very comfortable being close. You know, that's what I find difficult. Coming from a boarding school rugby environment, I like to get close. I like to get in people's uncomfortable being uncomfortable. You know, some people don't like going to a restaurant when you're not close to people. I like being close to people in a close proximity. I'm very comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I'm even more comfortable naked. believe it or not. And that's what I got. But the problem was, I just couldn't find the time to, as we discussed at the top of the podcast, I don't have a lot of time. So I was finding going to Chariots in Stockwell, just the nice people. And it was really sad. I remember the guy saying to me, you know, do you not want to come back anymore? Like, we really enjoyed you. And I said, look, I would love to, but I'm so sorry. But now I still try and do it. What I do is I whack the oven up hot and I just stand by it.
The oven?
Just stand by it late before I
get to
bed.
With the glasses on?
With my goggles on. Yeah. And I have the oven on. And I
no
sort of
pants.
Just get, just naked. And I'm just, because everyone's gone to bed. It's fine. The nanny once came down, but I was like, no, don't come in, please. Because I didn't want her, because that's sackable. And, you know, some people might find that weird.
Sackable?
Yeah, she could leave me.
Okay, sackable.
Because, no,
you'd
sackable.
Be sackable.
She could leave me. What's that?
Leavable.
Leavable? Yeah. Let me look up the terminology for...
on the blank sheet of paper.
No, I think leavable is the right word. I'll just take these off now. Straight away, wow, I'm back in the room. I feel rejuvenated. I'm alive. But I'll sit by the oven for... last night I sat there by the oven, really close proximity for about 60 minutes. And just, I really took it in. I got a lot from it.
Nice.
And then I'll go upstairs and I'll just jump in a cold bath. That's my bedtime routine.
That's your best, because you probably going to want to go to sleep immediately after that cold bath.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, I some people don't like doing that, but I love sleeping in a cold room. So windows open, I'm naked, I don't have a duvet, I just have a mattress.
And your barnacle out.
Unless I've got, you know, a lady around, then I probably won't do the ice bath. I'll just do the oven with them. Mel, talk to me about fitness. Let's give people something to hang their hat on this podcast, because I'm not sure how much
they're
learning.
You wouldn't hang your hat on that little whistle of yours. That's all I'm telling you.
it will. If you blow it, it will make a sound, I'll tell you that. Regardless, it's not about the size. Big shout out, actually. Just another shout out to another sponsor, the MPF, the Micropenis Foundation, which I'm an ambassador for. Astonishing, the statistics out of that. No, honestly, statistics coming out, it's becoming more and more prevalent, men doing CrossFit and high rocks across the country. Danny, it's a sad, sad thing.
I don't mind a bit of CrossFit, to be honest.
And I don't mind
as long as your
penis.
Form is good, I'm all in.
Just give me a big tip. Let's say there is a six-year-old tubby little, you know, guy at school, and he's watching this. He's watching it on YouTube.
Yes.
He's thinking, I love a bit of Archie Curzon, seeing the stories of Mel Dean, love a bit of Mel Dean. Let me get on YouTube, got nothing to do. And he's thinking, I want to be in the shape of my life, like Archie and Mel. You know, what advice, what do people need to start with?
Rigged up is probably what
you're thinking. Just give some basics to somebody, because this poor little fat guy... Let's call him...
I was the poor little fat guy.
Okay. Well, let's call this guy Henry, okay? And Henry's watching. I'll be honest with you, Henry. Not much hope for you right now. So listen up. Okay. Give 5 steps someone can do without really having to spend lots of money and can immediately see some effects. And I think the thing with weight loss, I would say, is that people always expect short, you know...
Immediate.
Yeah, and it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one client... What was the boy's name?
Henry.
Henry. One second. Funnily enough, that I have a client spending a few pound cheating on me at a separate training camp for their trainer three times a week and do her food and everything. And she's spending £2,000 a month with them.
Wow.
Holy
it's mental,
sweet
isn't it?
Mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
And they're making her... walk 12,000 steps a day and given her reduced calorie, and she's losing weight. I know you're going to lose weight if you do that without giving the £2,000 to them.
Yeah.
Just come and train, be consistent, and stop eating shite. I mean, it's not, if you're a very small little bit over on the calories every day moving forward, a year down the line, you're a long way out. But if you stay more or less on your calories, what you're burning, what you're taking in, you're on the right line.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you. I get it. I mean, look.
And it doesn't include pints.
Birrios. Birrios.
Birrios, no.
But no, look at me.
Archerios.
Not all of us are lucky like you and me. I'm in incredible shape. You see me, you see my form in the gym. I'm a strong ox. I think I've heard the words "you're a strong ox" come out.
I said you're strong as a fox and cute as an ox.
That's yes. Okay. Right, I should write that down. I might get that tattooed on me in Maori.
Here.
But it's simple you say that, okay? I hear people say that. The Instagram is full of personal trainers and fitness people saying, you know, walking, calorie deficit, okay? And don't get me wrong, I'm not bored of that content at all. I think it's bloody good. I Google
rewatch.
I'll just flip
rewatch, that. Rewatch, yeah.
Even though it's all the same, I love it. And I think, great. And I love the fact that all online personal trainers, that's why I actually do love you so much, because you are genuine. But I do love, you know, looking at personal trainers online, and they're like, join now and get 30 days and get fit. There's always a way to like try and get something, yeah. Which obviously look is a business. Mm. But poor old Henners, okay, he's at school. You can't always count your calories. You go out for meals. Like his dad might take him out for lunch. I'd love my dad to take me out for lunch.
yes.
No, but if Henry's dad took him out for, I mean, if my dad took me out for lunch, I wouldn't care about the calories. I would just enjoy the moment. But let's say poor Henners, okay. How do you measure calories? It's really difficult in everyday life. You're not a fitness professional. Yes, you want to lose weight.
I hear you. Well, okay. The further you move away from nature, the closer you move to disease. That is it. So all the stuff that's processed,
yeah,
then you're starting to mess around. But if you eat fruits, veg, meats, simple stuff.
Eggs?
Yeah.
I eat a lot of eggs.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mix them up. A little bit of salt.
Yeah.
Scramble those bad boys.
I mean, this is the question. We could get really interactive right now. I mean, like, do DM us on this clip. What do you prefer? Scrambled, boiled, fried, poached, omelette? I mean, who knows? I there's nothing better than going on holiday with an egg station. Am I right?
My cousin gave me some eggs that were only made there by the chickens in the house. The other day, and I had 6 eggs yesterday.
Really? Yeah. No, it's a regular for me. 6 scrambled eggs, 6 boiled eggs. I have it. I love it. But for me,
but the 6 slices of toast I had were maybe.
You wouldn't do that. No. That's where you're going wrong, Mel. That's where you're going wrong.
That's why I look like a fat turnip.
That's why you're
fatty bum bum.
No, one thing I want to do in life is, you know, obviously, I want to have a really big house in Surrey. I want to have a chauffeur that can take me back into London to work.
To drink.
But I also want an egg station in my house. That will be the mark that I've made it.
That
if I can walk
that,
down...
Is that your marker for success?
Yeah, because I'd walk downstairs and I'd say...
Just quietly, what is your marker for success?
An egg station. That, honestly, I'd go downstairs, I'd say, Pedro, ¿qué? I say, you're lucky you work here because you're a slow walker, you drop your rubbish and you keep stopping everywhere. You're lucky I gave you a job. Just stay there and don't do anything. Make me an egg. That would be a real moment in my life. You know, just to have a guy who did my eggs.
A fella doing your eggs.
Yeah, that would be it. I wouldn't have to, you know, I just think that's it. And I'd have you round. We'd go down in the morning and I'd be like, what do you want?
Check this out.
Do you want omelette? Do you want mushrooms? Do you want ham? It'd all be there. You just whack it in. And I'd be like, don't worry.
You've already killed the pig.
Pedro, would it? Have we killed the pig?
So the ham is from where?
Listen, I went to boarding school. We do all kinds of things to pigs, okay?
And we'd
definitely be a pig in the house, let me tell you. And he'd be getting it. Because if I'm not getting it, he's getting it. And that's not in a weird way. He'd get me murdered. Yeah, he'd be murdered.
From the get-go.
That's the only time I see red when I'm killing pigs. Now, look, Mel, obviously, time is ticking, but I do want to ask some questions.
Okay.
Just tell me, what is...
The wind velocity of a sparrow.
Yeah, what is that?
It depends whether it's South African or Asian.
Tell me the South... I think I know the Asian one, but what's the South African one?
That's from Monty Python. That's why I said it.
I don't watch comedy. I'm not much of a comedy guy.
No.
I'm more Panorama. I love Panorama. My bread and butter. But Mel, just tell me, what is the greatest bit of advice you ever had?
Wowzers, you've just absolutely bamboozled me.
Before you answer that, I just want you to imagine that someone is on a reel and it's one of those things, you know, and the music kicks in now and it's, you know, and you go like, the greatest bit of advice I've ever been given. You got to work hard, chop wood, and do water.
No,
and
then you'll no, be inspired. You can't just say
okay,
that.
Okay, hold on. Action. No, that's fascinating, man. That's fascinating. Just tell me, what is the greatest bit of advice you've ever been given?
Do you remember you said to me, Mel, get in behind me there. I'll tow you for the rest of the race. That was probably the best line ever said to me.
That was a wonderful bike trip. And I felt like I took you with me.
Yes,
you're a
you
big
did.
Rig. And I just said, get in by me, mate. I'll take you up the hill.
You slipped in behind that drag, that arse for a little few miles, didn't you?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I really enjoyed that bike ride. It brought back memories because every day I'd get off that bike and it would feel like I'm back at boarding school. It would feel warm and
no,
fuzzy.
I actually thought of you in the bed when you had the eye thingies on, you know, the things that you go to sleep. Not and without them, no,
yeah.
You had the other ones
the
on.
The sleep mask, yeah.
The
yeah.
sleep mask, and you were lying in bed and you were, you didn't realise that I was filming and you were like, oh my God, I am absolutely spent.
There is
nothing left in me.
That was really, really tough. I know we make a joke about it, but I found that hard. I mean, 100 miles a day, that day going, oh my God, it was awful.
On the last day, when the legs were falling off us and Ali McCoy, I could see we're going up a hill after you've had a bit of food.
Yeah.
So your body's then, the blood has gone to your stomach to try and process what's going on. So your body doesn't know what, you start pedaling and then it goes, what, am I feeding you or are we starting to work hard? And so you get that horrible feeling when you start to go up hills.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was starting to pedal and I look and I could see that Ali McCoy was dying on his arse a little bit. And then when I got up beside him, I went, Ali, and he looked over and I went, we've got this, right?
Yeah.
We started laughing because we were in such bits in pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we started laughing. It's like, no, we haven't got this. And anytime I saw him after that at a distance, we've got this. I mean, giving me the fingers and everything.
It felt good to give to charity, but I was thinking the last trip we did in the summer was definitely not as hard as this.
No.
It was a joy. It was a lot, wasn't it?
Lumpy as. But yeah. when we saw the man, where were we? In Dungannon, when we saw the man that was on the treatment, had MND, and he was using the treatment that we had raised money for the time before.
Yeah.
And to see him, and I was older than him, I was like, oh my God.
No, it's
so lucky. And you'd never complain. You'd never complain.
No, I think that's one thing you learn is you can always wake up and feel, you know, it's November and people, a lot of men, you know, it's extraordinary, that how many men kill themselves.
Yes.
I mean, it's just mind blowing. And a lot of it is just they can't talk about their issues.
Yeah.
But also we can get so sapped up in life. You know, especially I think in London, look, because you're so close to next to rubbing shoulders with so many people who are so much more successful in ways that you deem success, wealth, fitness.
Yeah.
You know, they can obtain the best restaurants, and now everyone can see it, right? It's mental, and you can have days where you wake up and you're like, oh, I can't, you know, that person's got that, and why haven't I got that? And then you actually think, you know, people have got MND. And you meet those people and you just think, how are they, like mentally that is, it's crazy, isn't it?
Oh
it should,
God.
More people should talk.
And after Lewis Moody as well.
Oh, I know.
Sweet
oh,
Jesus.
Oh man, it is awful. It is, you know, luckily I don't suffer from mental health. That's one of my gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't cry and I don't suffer from mental health. I scream a lot just in the bath myself.
I scream myself
but I find
to sleep.
Great.
No.
That's my routine. I go by the oven, I have an ice bath, and why are you doing it to me? And then I feel so much better. And I, why is that guy from school so much more successful? He wasn't even good at sport. I was.
Yes.
Why? And then I feel like, and I, and I think, great. And I can feel sometimes tears coming.
Yeah.
and then I don't cry and I feel so much better. And so if you are suffering from phantasm, I don't know where the camera is, try just screaming. Or speak to someone. I don't know. I sometimes want to speak to someone. Like, I have thought about talking to friends.
Yes.
But then I just scream. And, you know, I'll find a little alleyway before I get it. I might go on the way thinking, I've got to speak to Clefty. You like Clefty, good guy. Yeah. We call him Clefty. His sister's got a cleft palate. we're going over to Clefty's, and then I find like a little alleyway, and I just, no! I don't need to keep doing this! Why do I feel I have to go to the gym every day? And then I feel much better.
Yeah? Because you have to go to the gym every day because you are weak as piss.
No. I had to get, 'cause this rig, it's legendary.
Rigosaurus Rex.
Mel, it is coming to the end of the podcast. Okay. What? Just
fill in any of those questions?
We got through it all.
We got through it all.
Got speedos check. Manners. We're talking about good manners.
Yes.
I was thinking.
Love good manners.
I did have a bit of a problem with manners because I do remember saying to my dad when he dropped me off at boarding school at 7, I said, please don't go. I said it nicely, he still left. So that was disappointing. But quick fire questions. And honestly,
okay.
Quick fire questions. Let's go for hardest player you've played against.
Vaiga Twigamala.
The most famous person you have trained?
Chris Hemsworth or Jamie Dornan and Niall Horan. I don't know, there's a few of them, yeah.
Okay. All good people?
Top people.
Okay.
They'd have to be to put up with my shite.
Yeah. Disappointed I wasn't on that list.
Sorry you didn't make that one.
103,000 followers on Instagram. Do impeccable Southwest London commentary. Known by some of the greats. Best bit of advice, quick bit of advice you can give in terms of fitness?
Get out there and lift. The more muscle you have on you, the more calories you're burning.
Is it better to lift or do cardio or a mixture?
I do both. But I like, if you had to do something, lift.
Best,
if you had to.
Best rugby match you ever played?
Best one I ever played. The one I scored a hat-trick in was the highest points scored in a Premiership game. Richmond versus Bedford. It was our last game as a professional outfit.
Best teammate you ever had?
Oh, best teammate. Whoa, that's a tough one.
Just one.
You get great teammates. Pish. I'd have to pick Pish. Augustine Pichot, who is the RG9.
I'm pointing at you. That's right. I hope you're not going to see red, but I'm pointing at you.
Yeah.
But you stay there.
Don't point.
Worst teammate you ever had? Someone that you, and you just got to be brutal, someone that you played with that you just didn't like.
You can't say
you just
that.
Didn't like.
Oh, no, you can't. You can't throw it out there like that. You don't get on with everybody. You don't get on with everyone.
Well, who do you not get on with?
They're few and far between, but you can't just throw out a name like that. You know what I mean?
Any big names that you didn't get on with?
Not really, because I got on with everybody, really. But there's someone you wouldn't want to spend a lot of time with. There's a few of them.
Okay, last question.
Yeah.
You've obviously trained some very well-known people,
yeah.
Including...
the big rig, Rigosaurus Rex.
Yep.
Yeah.
Have you ever, and you obviously don't use names, but you obviously get introduced to other people through that network because there's obviously famous people, no famous. Have you ever come across anyone?
Yes.
Who is well known and you just thought, nah, it's not for me?
Anyone famous, not for me. Well, I get introduced because of the filter of people have to bombard me to get a session.
Yeah.
And if they've tried, and then I end up messaging them, and then what do I get back from them? Is it half funny? Do I get on with them? If they're very direct, I don't think it's going to work necessarily. But I am going to Kilimanjaro next month, and I am meant to be the glue for a team of 15 people going, and I am supposed to be the glue for this 15 team. And we're on a Teams call last week, and the fella's talking about, you're going to be doing this on day one and this on day two, 3 hours of this, have a cup of tea, 3 hours there, preparing yourself for acclimatization, all this kind of stuff. He spoke for 50 minutes. Everyone has listened to him, and the team's called like this. And then he said, bring two pairs of shoes. If one pair gets wet, we can dry it. And he goes on, 50 minutes. And then at the end, does anyone have a question? And I went, put my hand up, and he said, yes. I said, you know, you mentioned two pairs of shoes. Is it okay if one of the pairs is a pair of Cuban heels? Right?
Yeah.
Tumbleweed.
Yeah, that's the worst. Yeah.
Tumbleweed. I'm meant to be the glue for these. I'm gonna be stoned.
Hold on, why are you going to Kilimanjaro? What's that aid of?
That is a charity for African girls that are left by the wayside and they don't get an education and all that kind of stuff. So,
oh, thank God. Sorry, I thought you were going to say like African girls who are shipped over here to, you know, like a taken thing. But okay, fine. Okay, that's great.
not a taken thing.
Mel.
Yes.
O'Reilly Richard Dean. It's been an absolute pleasure. I hope to do more of this. Just quickly, a few things. Obviously, people will be listening to this and they'll love the cut of your jib.
They'll love the cut of your jib.
That's a little bit of Irish term from the west of Ireland, actually. But where can people find you and how can they, you know, if they want to come and do a session, how would they go about it?
They'd fire me a message.
Or on Instagram?
Yes, yeah. Look on Instagram. You'll see there's a little link that you can go in. Optimize is my...
Optimize. I've got to...
Wait. Optimize.
And we should have some sort of retro...
Wow.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, yeah.
Optimize.
Optimize yourself. Optimize your Optimize everything. Yeah.
Optimize your ass.
And you do online as well, right?
Yeah.
You don't do just in person. So you're based in Richmond, but you can sign up and you can write them a program.
Yes.
Lastly, any questions from you?
How do you stay so sane and look so dreamy at the same time?
It's very simple. A couple of drinks a day, keep the doctor away, as I said.
I'm not sure that's the saying, actually.
Drinking and screaming. If anyone is suffering from mental health or wants to be high performance in the city, please do drop me a line. Mine is called Optimum. And you can just sign up, just DM me and I'll send you everything. But it's a combination of screaming therapy and drinking.
Wow.
So yeah, well, if you do both, God, you'd be in great shape and mentally on point.
Oh.
But you might be in a calorie surplus with drinking. Mel is being out sauna. What my first rug biz without Freddie, and I'm thinking sort of I don't really need the guy.
He would be devilled that you've just said that.
Some people said, I don't even need a guest. I could have just gone, just like
and
a
screamed.
Machine. Yeah.
Screamed to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Well, anyway.
I'm glad I was here for it.
Well, no, listen, I'm off. Thank you to our sponsors at Speedo. Keep your retinas safe. And love and champagne, everybody. That was great fun, Mel. Thank you very much.
Cheers, big dog.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.